Hey, it's Jared. Listen, this week's podcast is coming up in just a few seconds, but I wanted to talk with you really quickly about these few seconds. Yeah, the opening to the podcast. Our little show is downloaded each week by decision makers in the Northwest Arkansas supplier community, retail executives in corporate America, plus businesses all across the country and overseas. You know, your business could be the first thing our captive audience hears about each week. To find out how this space right here can work for you, simply call 479-802-9816. That's 479-802-9816, and ask about sponsorship openings. All right, that's enough business. Let's fire up the fun.
Dialing Ethan Walton. Conference call. Please wait while others join.
You're dialed in to the conference call, brought to you by 8th and Walton. The 8th and Walton Conference Call is a podcast for retailers, suppliers, and industry leaders to keep you up to date on what's going on in your industry. From what's happening around the world to what's happening across the street, this is one call with an agenda tailored specifically for you. Your call is starting, and now your host, Jared Davis.
The most honest thing that you are going to hear all day long is me telling you how much I appreciate you just downloading this podcast and spending a few minutes with me. I do, and that's why I have got some fantastic information on this particular podcast just for you and your business. My name is Jared Davis. I know we're close. I know you already know that, but I'm required to say that. Let me tell you who's coming up on the podcast a little bit later. I had the chance to visit with Mr. Zach Freeze. Zach is Senior Director of Strategic Initiatives for Walmart Sustainability. You know what I got to talk with Zach about? He came in to do a Focus on Suppliers broadcast, and we talked about Walmart's commitment to trust and transparency and how they're going to be demonstrating this to the customers over the next several months and years. And we touched on Walmart's sustainability efforts, specifically with Project Gigaton and other initiatives coming out. We got a chance to talk on the broadcast, but the reason that I also wanted him to be on the podcast is because we get to deep dive on these subjects. Zach was a fascinating interview, and I know you're going to enjoy hearing that coming up a little bit later in the podcast. Okay, and oh, you know what? Speaking of Walmart, you and I need to have a little chat, because I hope you're on top of it. As a matter of fact, I think I know you well enough to know that you're keeping up with all these initiatives and goals that Walmart's rolling out, like Project Gigaton, you know, sustainability initiatives and on time in full, the whole OTIF thing and retail ready packaging. Well, you, I trust some of these other suppliers in the Northwest Arkansas community that I talk with, I don't think they're taking a lot of this very seriously. Seems like they're just waiting around to see what happens, and then we'll put a plan together based on what we see. I know that's what they're saying now, but come third and fourth quarter, they're going to be singing a different tune. And that tune's going to sound a lot like this.
Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery.
Emma, if you and I are the only people on the planet that still remember that song, it was well worth it. That made my heart warm. What point was I trying to make? Oh, yeah, this is my big build-up to retail-ready packaging. You know, the reason that we're talking about retail-ready packaging is because a lot of times you talk about on time in full, OTIF, and we have a lot of suppliers that wish they could roll the clock back and really start to take this seriously. But with the retail-ready packaging initiative from Walmart, you've got some time. Now's the time to start taking it seriously and start learning how your process needs to adapt. It's going to save a lot of labor dollars, and I'm so excited to have my old friend from Menasha, Mr. Kerry Bailey, is going to join us here in just a few minutes. Kerry has been working with the supplier community, working with Walmart on this initiative, and has got some great things to tell us about this retail-ready packaging program. It's going to be exciting. You're going to learn a lot, and he's coming up next right here on the 8th and Walton Conference. Call.
Are you a new supplier thinking of doing business with Walmart? Or have you just acquired the Walmart account and have questions about processes? 8th and Walton has a class tailored for suppliers new to doing business with Walmart. The Walmart Fundamentals class is the onboarding experience you need before going into that first meeting. Through Walmart Fundamentals, you'll learn the basics about Walmart, such as the supplier agreement, merchant roles, department numbers, Walmart terminology, and much more. We'll also cover the everyday expectations from retail math to using Excel efficiently. To find out about classes in Northwest Arkansas or the next national webinar, visit 8thandwalton.com and search for Retail Fundamentals in the course descriptions.
As I mentioned before, special guest today is Mr. Kerry Bailey from Menasha. Kerry, great to have you on the podcast for the first time.
Thanks, Jared. This is a pleasure.
I'm ready to hear about retail-ready packaging because, you know, it seems like the big thing right now, on time in full, and I feel like this is about to kind of crest and then crash, and then retail-ready packaging is coming in right behind it this part of the year. What is retail-ready packaging?
Retail-ready packaging is the next evolution of what we've always kind of known as a PDQ format. The PDQ stood for pretty darn quick. You know, the efficiency part of it and the execution part of it related to operations allowed PDQs to evolve and become a necessary part of delivering the merchandising platform to the store. What we see out of retail-ready packaging or shelf-ready packaging is that same type of application, although we're moving it to the tertiary component, which really makes the old brown box case goods application more formidable as it represents the display piece on shelf. And so this retail-ready approach is really going to bring new graphics and a new dimension to on-shelf packaging and allow for all of the labor savings that we've seen over the years in PDQ execution to be formulated into the package on shelf.
Yeah, when we think retail-ready packaging, my mind jumped right to those PDQs. I remember those in the stores, especially around Halloween, the way the candy comes in and the PDQs. And what are you seeing with this next wave that's going to really differ from the old PDQs?
I think what we see now is more sophistication in that package where, you know, early generations would have seen a primary package or the product itself inside of a tray or something that really obstructed maybe the view of the product itself. What we see today is continuous graphics. So the offer of the primary product is still seen on the graphic demonstration from the tray itself. So you really have a more integrated approach to the graphics and a much cleaner presentation to the shopper.
And I know you were telling me you've worked very closely with Walmart trying to help explain this to the suppliers, exactly what Walmart's expectations are going to be. What is Walmart's ultimate goal in going to a retail-ready package format?
Well, obviously, the labor savings and capturing time in the operations side of the business is very important for them to not only reduce costs and drive that EDLC platform forward, but it's also an important part of just maintaining integrity in the store and the shelf. When you think about zoning and how they take care of the modular and what's required to keep the store shelves looking organized to the shopper, that's an important feature for them. And for operations to be able to do that in retail-ready packaging is going to be an important part of the metrics and the measurement and evaluation of that success.
And I know Menasha was able to help out in a recent Walmart meeting that was focused really around Department 3, office supplies. Can you tell us a little about that?
Well, you know, when back to school hits the stores, it is amongst the chaos that is occurring with parents and shoppers and students getting ready for school. And the back to school platform has been a very organized delivery of all of the necessary components for the child to go to school with. And so understanding how back to school can roll into more of the organizational structure within the office supplies area of the store and be a complement in the stationary programs there in the modular and on the set, it was just a natural evolution of that to occur in retail-ready or shelf-ready packaging applications. So we have been working very hard in getting those toolkits together for the suppliers who participate in those categories and those departments. And I think you're going to see a much more organized fashion in that department rolling forward into the fall of 2017.
For our supplier community who are just now hearing about retail-ready packaging or just now thinking about preparing, what advice do you give them over the next 12 to 18 months?
Hurry. You know, it is it's an exploration and it's a discovery. And I think what suppliers are learning is the faster you get started, the more opportunity you have to evaluate what that process is going to look like inside their business as they transition. And we see this in how we talk to suppliers and how they come to understand that this is a phase process. You very rarely have a wholesale changeover. This is a phase process where you need to adapt lines and how you produce goods. So that phase process allows for those transitions and conversions to occur over time. But you need to get started because those phases take a periodic point of learning, and you want those learnings to occur in a nice natural format in a good state of time. And so I think the advice I give suppliers is get started. That's the main thing, is just get started.
Kerry, we will be monitoring this, and we appreciate your time. Please come back and talk to us again as this continues to evolve.
Will do, Jared. Thanks for having me.
Hey, suppliers. Do you have questions about Retail Link? Would you like to know more about analytics and replenishment? Good news. You can get your retail questions answered fast with 8th and Walton Chat. Just log on to 8thandwalton.com and wait for the chat box to pop up. Our merchant advisors are standing by to help you right now. It's absolutely free. Chat with us today without the wait. 8thandwalton.com/chat.
We're back on the 8th and Walton conference call. At the top of the show, I mentioned that I had the pleasure to sit down with Mr. Zach Fries, who is Senior Director of Strategic Initiatives for Walmart Sustainability. We had a great talk about Walmart's trust and transparency initiatives, and we got to deep dive on these issues a little bit. So, Emma, I think that is cut number three. Will you fire up cut number three? Thank you.
As I said before, we're talking with Zach Fries, who is Senior Director of Strategic Initiatives for Walmart Sustainability, and we just finished up our first Focus on Suppliers broadcast. That wasn't so bad, was it, Zach?
It was not. It was wonderful.
I'm glad that you're here. I really want to talk a lot about this Walmart initiative of trust and transparency. Obviously, Laura Phillips has been on the Focus on Suppliers before. We've heard Doug McMillon talk about this, but when your team thinks about trust and transparency, what does that mean for you?
Well, really, it starts with the customer, and it's about building trust through initiatives that they support and they can feel good about and that make a difference to our company and the communities where they live. And so for us, it's about being authentic in our story of how we bring products to market and encouraging suppliers to do the same. And we think through these great efforts and through projects that we're able to be a part of, like Project Gigaton that we just announced in April of 2017, where we've committed to reduce 1 billion metric tons from the environment over the next 15 years. Through projects like that, we hope that will build trust. And with the transparent way we're bringing it to market and sharing our story, we're hoping to bring more suppliers into the mix and allow them to do the same.
So being on the global responsibility team, and you're there, you know, taking trust and transparency to the customer, what is it that you and your peers and that you and your teams have responsibility to do to really convey that to the customer?
Well, we've got a great opportunity to be on the Walmart global responsibility team, and it's not just sustainability. So it's things like economic opportunity and what we're doing with our own associates, as well as the community and what we do in things like disaster relief and programs like Fight Hunger, Spark Change, where we're able to actually make a significant difference in a very important issue in this country. And so this year, we were very proud to have over 200 million meals donated through the Fight Hunger, Spark Change initiative. And it's initiatives like that that the Global Responsibility team is really in charge of trying to help develop. But it's up to our associates, our great team at Walmart, to really make that happen. And we're just fortunate enough to bring a lot of those opportunities to have Walmart really share more. And we think those are really key when you talk about purpose. And Walmart is a brand with purpose. We have a purpose as a company, and we choose to really launch a bunch of very ambitious goals, and it's our job to see them through. And so building trust is a very big key to that in order to make that happen.
The average person would know what trust is. You know, you build trust. When you're focused on transparency, what are you looking at in the area of transparency to convey to the customer?
Really, it's about visibility. We really don't want anything to be hidden from them that a customer's looking to find out. And Doug McMillon frames it in a great way, where he says, when someone shines the light on Walmart, we want them to like what they see. And so in any of the different product categories that we have, from a social and environmental perspective, we're working really hard to make sure that what we're doing is shared and available to customers where they want to know it.
And Zach, for our suppliers who are listening, who want to help Walmart in the Trust and Transparency Initiative, or they want to bring it to their own business, what advice do you have?
Well, I would say just be authentic. Transparency is sometimes sharing things that maybe you're not as proud of, but something you're committed to work on. And so I think that's very important to do, because really, when you talk about trust, transparency is one of the ways to build trust. And so you don't want to be hiding anything. You really want to be proud. And I think there's a lot of great stories out there. A lot of our suppliers have brought some really great initiatives on transparency and sharing more information with the customer. And we applaud that and just really wish we could see more. So from a supplier standpoint, we'd really encourage more of that, to do that as a brand, and hopefully not just at Walmart, but for any other place you sell.
when we were talking on the broadcast, you got to touch on shared value, a term that we've heard a couple of times. If you had to deep dive into that, what exactly is shared value as it relates to the trust and transparency?
Well, shared value, I think, is really the way we are operating now under the global responsibility team. And it's really taking corporate social responsibility up to the next level of doing not only what's good for society and what's good from a corporate social responsibility perspective, but also good for business. It has to be both, really, for it to thrive and to take off. And so we want these things to be embedded in the business. We want them to be something that lives on for a long time. And I think shared value is something that has to balance both. It has to be something that's good for business and good for society. And so that's really where we think a lot of that trust originates, is when we do that, then we build trust with a shareholder and we build trust with the customer.
Zach, we appreciate you being on the podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Emma. And my thanks again to Mr. Zach Fries for taking time to come on the podcast. You know what? We are almost out of time, but we always have time for a few wacky headlines. Let's start off with a really fun one. The Temkin Group is out with its annual trust ratings list. If you've never heard of this, the Temkin Group measures the level of trust that customers have with 329 companies across 20 industries. I think this is really timely because, as you know, Walmart has set as one of its goals to be the most trusted retailer by the year 2025. This survey from the Temkin Group, it's just based on customer feedback and their interactions with the companies. They ask customers, to what degree do you trust that these companies will take care of your needs? Well, let's get into it. Who's number one? Who is the most trusted retailer today in the United States? It's HEB, the Texas supermarket chain. Interestingly, the next highest grocer on the list is number nine, Publix. Publix ranking in at number nine. And then on further down the list, we got Amazon Fresh and Trader Joe's, which are tied at number 24. And of course, on this show, a lot we talk about Amazon. Where is Amazon in the trust factor? Amazon, the Apple Store, and Hannaford are all tied at number 15. You want to talk a little fast food? The highest ranked fast food chain on the list, coming in at number 11 for trust, is Chick-fil-A. Now, getting back to Walmart's goal of being the number one trusted retailer by the year 2025, Walmart has a little bit of work to do. Right now, they are ranked at 241 out of the 329 companies. But let's have some real fun. I know what you're wondering. Who bottomed out? Who is at the very rock bottom of the trust list? Well, not surprisingly, number 327, 328, and 329 all cable and internet companies. Cox Communications, Comcast, and Time Warner Cable bottomed out the list. I really doubt any cable companies actually listen to this podcast. If they do, I'm sure they're really not happy for me calling them out on hitting the bottom of the trust list this year. But if you do work for one of these companies and would like to yell at me in person, I'd be more than happy to come down to your office tomorrow. Will somebody be there between the hours of 10 and 4? Now, getting back to grocery stores, we've talked quite a bit on this podcast about German grocer Lidl hitting the U.S. this month. But as you know, being a supplier, German grocer Aldi has actually been here in the United States since 1976. And now Aldi is planning on growing. The Wall Street Journal says that Aldi is spending $9 billion to open nearly 900 stores and remodel hundreds more right here in the United States over the next 5 years. If they come through on that, that's going to give them a total of 2,500 stores in the United States and make Aldi the third largest retailer in the U.S. by store count. That's just behind Walmart and Kroger. The new stores are planning on focusing on private label, but have an improved approach to fresh. Aldi leadership says that they're going to have a greater impact on the American market since Americans' loyalty to major national brands seems to be eroding. Brand loyalty is something we're going to talk about on an upcoming podcast. It is kind of disappearing here in the United States. And finally, you know, it's been a while since we talked about the whole Amazon versus Walmart battle for domination. And I think Amazon had the last chess move in the last week. Amazon announced that customers enrolled in government assistant programs can now sign up for their Amazon Prime membership at a discounted rate. $5.99 per month. The regular annual membership for Prime is $99 per year or $10.99 if you pay on a monthly basis. Amazon Prime's big growth has really come from upper middle and upper income shoppers, but with this new discount, Amazon is directly going after an audience segment that has been a stronghold for Walmart stores, which is the lower income customer. It's going to be interesting to see if Amazon can take a big piece of that pie, and we'll monitor it and let you know how it goes right here on the 8th and Walton Conference Call. Thank you once again for downloading the podcast. This is Jared Davis reminding you, if you're using Outlook, go to Options. You can select delayed delivery on your individual emails. That way they actually send hours after you hit the send button. It's a great way to make the boss think you're working a lot later than you are. Have a great week.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of 8th and Walton or its management. If you have comments or suggestions about this program, contact us at jared@nathanwalton.com, 479-715-6700, or at nathanwalton.com. 8th and Walton, Inc. is in no way associated with or endorsed by Walmart Stores, Inc. or its affiliate. All references to Walmart Stores, Inc., as well as its affiliates, trademarks, and brands, are used in accordance with the Fair Use Doctrine and are not intended to imply that 8th and Walton, Inc. is a Walmart Stores, Inc. vehicle for advertising or for any other commercial purpose.